Hi, I'm Marshall, here on assignment at Worldcon, and with me is my guest, Gonzalo Alvarez. How about you tell us a little bit about yourself, Gonzalo, and what you're doing here?
Yeah, thank you for having me. So my name's Gonzalo, as you said, and I'm an illustrator and game designer from Port Arthur, Texas, and I was actually invited by John Picasso for the Mexican Initiative.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, it's a lifetime opportunity.
Yeah, and the Mexican Initiative is super. It's I'm very excited by all of it.
Yeah, likewise. I've gotten to meet a lot of artists, Latino artists that I didn't even know about, and now like it's just like a big, awesome family.
Yeah, absolutely. What sort of work do you do in your?
So, currently my main project that I'm working on is The Legend of Pollo Man, which is a Mexican folklore adventure series. It's currently a graphic novel, and I am working towards getting it into animation production and also games.
That's super. What sort of inspired you to make Pollo Man?
Yeah, well, growing up, I was a huge game, you know, video game player. I loved video games and I loved cartoons, but it was always interesting that I would only see Japanese sort of centered universes or fantasy like medieval or European, and I always wondered, why isn't there a Mexican fantasy universe, even though all these stories I grew up with about these folktale monsters, and I was like, it's a perfect setting. So I decided, if no one's going to do it, then I guess I have to be the one to do it.
Yeah, hey, that's a fantastic reason. A lot of from seeing what you've described of Pollo Man, he goes into the underworld and is fighting these legends, right?
Yeah. So, on the surface level is this kid who goes into the underworld, gets all these new magical powers that he's able to defeat these Latin American legends, but deep. Sort of story roots are, you know, it's about this boy learning the meaning of sacrifice. Sacrifice was something that I had to grow up with as a first generation coming from immigrant family. And so kind of showing, you know, all the things you have to leave behind when you're going to this new world, the new person you have to become. And also like my journey learning American, like becoming an American, because my parents were from Mexico, they didn't speak English and all that. So just as I'm learning English or learning the American culture, Emmanuel's going to be learning about the Nahuatl culture, the indigenous culture of Mexico.
That's really fantastic. Because, I mean, we do talk about a lot about like economics and politics. And I think immigration is like inherently a political thing.
Yes. I actually made a video game about immigration.
Oh, nice.
Yes. It's called Borders. It's released on itch.io, a self-publishing platform. And it went viral last year, actually. I created the game after it was during the time that Trump was trying to run for president, and I finished it when he became president. And it basically, you try to cross the border, but the main thing about the game is every time you die, it leaves behind a skeleton where you died.
Oh, wow.
So whenever you try to play again, it's super simple like Mario, but whenever you try to cross again, you'll see those skeletons of every player who's played that cabinet, because I made an arcade cabinet.
Okay, yeah.
And I set it in a public space for people to just play it.
Right. That would be really moving to kind of to go on and see how many people.
Yeah, we ended up with over 2,200 bodies. I traveled to Austin, Houston, San. I actually got invited to E3 last year.
Oh, nice.
To show it off at the Indiecade East or Indiecade booth. And then we also got invited to Sheffield Dockfest in the UK. And my co-creator went to show it off there.
That's amazing. Pollo Man reminds me a lot of a game that I was playing with my partner recently, Guacamelee.
Yes. Okay, funny enough, I was playing Guacamelee during the inception of Pollo Man.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, just like the whole like going to the underworld, getting some powers, and really like experiencing a game that has a culture that I'm completely unfamiliar with. So I was always looking things up like, oh, what is this? What am I fighting? Where are these stories from? And it was amazing. So
yes.
I'm really looking forward to the same with Poyo Man, being able to read the stories and learn about these things and then, yeah, read more about them, because it's something that I'm just completely unfamiliar with. And it's kind of revolutionary to bring forward this story that I'm sure there's millions of people know about, but is not in pop culture hardly at all.
Right. Yeah. And it's, I loved all the pop culture references that I saw playing that game that maybe a lot of people didn't know, because it's like from my background.
Yeah.
And it was awesome to see like characters that I grew up with knowing about, but seeing them like physically in a space that I can interact with. It really was something that I was like, man, there, I have to make a game that's fantasy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely. And just to sort of see, I like when it's presented as just, here's these things, and it's just normal, and it's not, it's like when you read regular fantasy, and so much of that medieval European fantasy is just what we read all the time, so people are able to say, oh yeah, I understand that, I get those references, I don't need a lot of background. Mm-hmm. And then to have these other stories, like yours or Guacamelee, that just, it's just there, and they don't present you large backstories. And if you don't understand, that's okay, because that game may not have been created for you. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of people who will just understand it, and it's okay to have games that are created for other people. It doesn't have to be a game for every person. Mm-hmm. But I think there's also something that every person can play the game and enjoy it and get something out of it.
No, yeah, definitely. That's sort of my philosophy when it comes to game design and with what I'm making, is I don't want to make it forced or that I'm trying to shove something down someone's throat. It's more like I'm literally just creating another fantasy world.
Yeah.
But now I'm using a setting that is just untapped. And like I mentioned before to you, I studied the mythology to kind of pull those things from the mythology and then rework them to work in like in this world.
Yeah.
And so hopefully people will see these new magic systems that maybe they'll get inspired to use. For example, the Olmecs, which is one of the first civilizations of the Mesoamerica, they believe that if you had when someone died, you could put a jade marble in their mouth and it would capture their soul. And so, no spoilers, but that's a very big element of my magic system.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So you spoke a little bit about Trump and his presidency. Is there anything else in the real world that sort of pushes you or is you say, oh, that particular thing I want to put into my stories so that people can, you know, this is my perspective on it and this is what's inspiring me to write these things?
Yeah. So the problem of segregation, the problem of, I guess, trying to push out the other in a sense, in the same way I'm using that in my story with Tenochtitlan, which was the center of the Aztec civilization, or the Mexicas. It was this big city in the center of a lake. Well, in my underworld, there is this big city in the center of the lake, but it's sort of like the utopia, and then all the other poor people who are getting attacked by the legends. And so it's sort of a play on the immigration, because these people are trying to go into this inner city that is protected.
Yeah.
So kind of taking that same thing, but doing it in a way where it's kind of, you know, not in your face.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic. And something I've been asking a few other people is, do you have any recommendations or stories that you've read or media you've consumed that has changed how you've viewed the world? Some piece of science fiction or fantasy that you said, oh, wow, that's an idea I hadn't thought of before.
Huh. Okay, one second. Well, I would say that Dark Souls. I don't know if anyone's ever played Dark Souls. It's a video game, but it's made by a Japanese company called From Software. And they took this, I guess, overdone medieval setting, and they were able to rework it to make it like, it's a lot more grotesque, and it's very like dark fantasy. And to me, it was just interesting how they were able to take this existing medieval setting and then kind of warp it to make it new.
Yeah.
Even though it's been done so many times.
Yeah.
So that's something that I guess really that game inspired me a lot for Puyo Man.
Yeah. That's fantastic. Well, do you have anything else you'd like to say or anything you'd like to mention?
Well, if people want to keep up with the Legend of Puyo Man project, I do have a website for it, legendofpuyoman.com.
Yep.
And I'm also pretty active on social media at Gonzink with 2 Z's. And so, yeah, I hopefully will be publishing this to a couple of publishers, and maybe we'll see this sooner than later.
That's fantastic. Thanks for talking with me.
No, thank you.
I'm really looking forward to seeing more of Puyo Man.
I appreciate it.
Thanks.